Right to do, Ben. Hello, friend, and welcome once again to a few moments of fellowship together as we look into the precious Word of the Eternal God. For the bread of God is He, which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. This is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted to be able to come into your presence through this means to share with you the wonderful truths of God's Word. And if you have time, I hope you'll get a Bible or a New Testament and watch and study along with us. We're in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John, the fourth book in the New Testament. And in chapter 16, we're considering, in these chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, we're considering the wonderful gift, the new birth blessing for the child of God in the Trinity. What a rich blessing it is to be a child of God and to know the truth of God's Word, which the Holy Spirit of God opens up our understanding and comprehension to, and teaches us these wonderful facts, these wonderful truths about the triune Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And this is what we're studying together as Jesus is speaking here. And we're in verse 19 of John chapter 16. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him where he was going, was what he was talking about in the previous 16, 17, and 18. Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him and said unto him, Do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while, and ye shall not see me again, and yet a little while, and ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. Remember, the world is under the power of Satan. He's spoken of as the god of this world system. And the world would rejoice at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. The principalities, powers of darkness, demons of Satan, forces of evil would cause the ungodly to rejoice. And even the religious crowd, they who were blinded to the truth and were involved in religion but did not have a relationship with the Lord God, they would rejoice. But the disciples, those who loved Jesus, those whom for whom the Lord Jesus had performed many miracles, they would be sorrowful to see the Lord Jesus, whom they loved, nailed to an old rugged cross and crucified outside the city of Jerusalem. And so Jesus said that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful. But, and notice that change in the statement here, that word but shows that there's a change. There's a contrast that's coming up here. But your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Oh, yes, beloved, there may be weeping for a season, but joy comes in the morning. Joy comes with the dawn. Joy comes with the brightness of the new blessings that are brought our way. Verse 21, A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow, because her hour is come. And oh, the pain that a woman goes through when she gives birth, the awful pain that she encounters, that she experiences, some of the worst pains that she will ever have before death. It just even brings her to death's door, and some women even die in giving birth to their children when there's complications. But, he says, again, here's that contrast, but as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world, the joy of holding that little one in her arms, the joy of holding that little one next to her breast. Oh, the joy of that little life and the beauty of looking at that precious little life, and all the anguish of the past is behind her. And she's focusing on the joy and the blessing of this little one. So when the Lord Jesus arose from the grave and appeared to the disciples, they were shocked. They were amazed. They could hardly believe that this was indeed the Lord Jesus, that He had come back from the dead, that He had life eternal, that He was in a glorified body. And He said, "Touch me and see." He showed them the nail prints in His wrist where the spikes had driven through and nailed Him to the cross. And Thomas, who said, "Unless I see the spikes, the spike prints and the spear on His side, the scar, I will not believe." And when Jesus showed it to him, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Oh, yes, he believed. And yet their joy, their sorrow was turned into joy. And oh, joy unspeakable and full of glory. That wonderful joy of seeing Christ risen from the dead. And they're beginning to comprehend, beginning to understand what Isaiah 53 meant. And 52, the latter part of Isaiah in 52, as it spoke about the Lord Jesus Christ and the terrible suffering that He would experience there on that old rugged cross. Let me just read it to you here quickly in Isaiah 52 and verse 13. Where Isaiah, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, said, "Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high." Oh, yes, the servant he's speaking of is the Lord Jesus Christ. "As many were astounded at thee, his visage, that is, his physical appearance, was so marred, more than any man." Oh, beloved, the terrible abuse that the soldiers had poured forth upon Christ because they were inspired by demonic powers. Demonic forces had used these soldiers to beat and to abuse the Lord Jesus Christ. His form more than the sons of men. He hardly looked human anymore because of the abuse that was poured forth upon him. And it was because of your sin and my sin that Jesus Christ died in our stead, experiencing the separation from God the Father when He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" It was because of our sin, as 2 Corinthians 5:21 tells us, that God made Jesus to be sin for us. Jesus, who knew no sin, that the righteousness of God might be given to us. That is, Christ took our sin. He took our place. He paid the penalty for our sin, for the wages of sin is death. And Jesus died for me. He died for you. He died under the judgment and wrath of God for our sin, that we might have life, that salvation might be offered to mankind, that we might be redeemed and liberated and delivered from the control and dominion of sin, and that we might know the joy and the peace and the forgiveness that comes through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. That the Holy Spirit of God might come into our spirit to do that work of salvation, as John 3:6 states, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that's physical birth, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, that's spiritual birth, the work of the Holy Spirit convicting, drawing, and transforming the life, the spirit of the individual who puts their faith and trust in Christ. And, oh, beloved, it is a marvelous transition. I'll never forget that day over 75 years ago when I opened my heart to the Lord Jesus, when I invited Him to come into my life. I did not understand about it all. All I knew as a young boy was that I needed Jesus, that I was a sinner, that Christ had died for my sin, that if I'd ask Him, He'd come into my spirit, He'd cleanse me and make me pure and clean. There was so much I didn't know, but the Lord knew my young spirit and my desire to receive Him. I'll never forget that Sunday morning as I went forward to publicly confess Christ as Savior. The Holy Spirit of God moved into my spirit, and my life was transformed. My life was changed in an instant. That transition took place as the Spirit of God applied the blood of Jesus to my spirit, making me pure and clean and holy, redeeming me from my sin and giving me the gift of eternal life. Oh, that glorious, glorious day when Jesus took my sins away. It reminds me of that old song, "Oh, happy day! Oh, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. He taught me how to watch and pray and live rejoicing every day. Happy day, happy day when Jesus washed my sins away." And, oh, it was the most glorious experience in my life when Jesus Christ moved into my spirit, giving me His joy, His peace, and His presence. And, beloved, He's never forsaken nor left me since then. Till next time, goodbye.